Business at Kenan Shiralense.
Why do you think that it's important for people, you think, to know your story and to know about what kinds of things you've gone through?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm saying everything the truth, so I'm not afraid of anything. And it's when Tom approached me once that somebody wants to interview me, it's what I know from the strike of 1915 and so on, and what I learned and what I know, I thought it was, and this is going to be for history, so I thought it was a very important thing for me to tell them what I know, because if others like I that participated in the strike could tell things like this, would be very nice. And then I got a letter. I showed you the letter from Tom, and it was signed that this will go into the Illinois Historical Labor Society for scholars and students. So I thought it was a very important thing for scholars to learn. Who are the scholars? The scholars are the young people now, and the students are the younger people yet. Let them learn what we people did before, what we did for them before. See, what we accomplished.
What do you think that you could teach someone about it? Or what do you think that you did teach someone about it?
Well, I'll tell you, I once spoke in the temple here for children, for high school children. And they were about 16, 17, or 18. And I had a nice group of children. And they wanted to know, they never probably heard of a tailor shop or of a Haymarket Riot or of strikes, because there's a nice class of people, the rich fathers they have over here, and they never know all this here. And when I talked to them, I asked them whether they ever heard of a Haymarket riot, and they never heard of it. So I did, although I didn't want to talk about it, because they were too young for it. But I told them my experience. The rabbi wanted me to tell them experience in the labor movement, that they needed something for graduation for the labor movement to make a paper. So I told them from my own experience, but I didn't give them my name. I told them how and about Morris and about, but I didn't say that he was my husband till the end of the lecture. I told him that this man Morris later became my husband, but I told about a girl that she got in a shop and that she striked, and how she was beaten, and how she was in the paddy wagon three times a day, and how she did, she was stabbed, and they were sitting like this here. Children were sitting like this here, listening, that they never heard of those things. And towards the end, I told them if there was any questions. I mentioned even a hard Chefner marks, and I mentioned many other things. And they asked me questions. The girl that was stabbed, why was she stabbed? Who stabbed her? And I said, a scab. And he said, boy asked, what was a scab? What is a scab? And I said to him, a scab is a person that takes a worker's, the worker goes out on strike, and he takes his job away. Is that right? I said, oh, like that. Mm. And who stabbed you? I said, a scab. She said, oh, what did they do to him? I said, nothing. What did they do to you? I said, to me? I went to a doctor and had it fixed, and the next time I remembered, I was back on the picket line, and I was arrested again. Why did you go? Why did I go to picket again? Because I was stepped before. Why did I go again? You see, children, they didn't realize all that. They didn't know all that.
that must have been really interesting for you, though, because they were as old as you were when you were doing those things.
But they were raised in a different way than I, you see. Although I was raised in a nice home, but in the poor home. And they, all those children, this is a very rich synagogue, you see, a temple. Members pay $500 a year, and sometimes it costs them a few thousand dollars to keep up the membership over here. And they didn't have to go through what I went through. Even my children, when my daughter, when she read that, I didn't know all of that.
I think that's one of the really neat things about it, that people really.
And I'm going to give this to read my grandchildren, to the two doctors. Let them read it, what their honey went through. They call me honey. They don't call me grandma. They call me honey. They don't know what their grandma went through. They had it easy. Father and mother, they never worked in their life. Oh, yeah, they worked on their school vacation, they worked. They were mailmen for the government. They worked mailmen. Larry and Jerry were mailmen, and Jerry worked once, they used to make a lot of money being a mailman, and they wanted them in Northbrook, they liked them. Mm-hmm. And one summer, Larry worked as a cleaner on the highways. They used to take out, the mayor gave them, the school boys, on vacation during the summer. So they used to line up a truck full of young kids and let them off on the highways, and they would pick up cans, pop cans, beer cans, and papers. You know, a lot of people throw out on the expressways. They used to go out. Most of them, most of the time, they used to sit in the trucks, and they would go out. Each one would go out and pick up. One summer, and most of the time he was they worked for the government mailman. I think he worked about four or five times as a mailman. And Jerry worked too as a mailman, and during the summer, and Jerry worked one summer. They have in Highland Park. They have a company in Highland Park in Winnetka and. And another, they have a lot of suburbs out there, very rich suburbs, and they have estates, big homes, big estates, and then they run garden parties over there. And so there's a man that supplies the electricity with the flowers, with the decorations in the garden parties, to a garden party. So Jerry worked one this summer for them. He made good money too. And Larry worked even till last year. He went into in medical school, they have to be 2 years. They work in the medical school, mm-hmm. and 2 years hospital. So during the 2 years when he worked in the medical school, when he was gone, he taught colored people, and the government gave a grant for that. He used to get $6 an hour to because they would have been a push him, you know. So he was getting $6 an hour. And if he would have time, he used to make a few hundred dollars like that. If he would have time, he said, he could have taught the whole day if he would have time, but he didn't have time enough to teach him. And now he doesn't teach because he has no time. He works less. He has another year to work in the hospital. Then he gets his degree.
Just one other question, Molly. Do you think that when you joined 275, that you started to identify more with the problems of women in the union and women in the shop? Did you think that you understood the problems more?
I understood before I went to the local union. I understood. Before I went there, I brought books to read for the people in the shops. I used to go to the library, bring all stacks of books for everybody to read, because the women in the shop, they had no time, they were not interested, they just wanted to work. I don't know what it was the matter. And I used to come and I used to read an awful lot at that time, but my children were home, and I used to read an awful lot. And I used to come and tell them stories about from this book and from that book, like John Gunter's books I read. John Gunter has inside Europe, inside Russia, inside America, inside Africa. He wrote, he lived there, he went there, and he did research on it. And I read over there, and there were a lot of stories to talk about it. And I came, or I read, I told them about this year, or I read Pearl Buck a lot when she was in China, and she was raised in China, and her father and mother was missionaries, and I used to come and tell them an awful lot about it. Or I read Upton Sinclair's The World's End. There were about 12 books or so, and we all read, the children read, and I read, and there was a nice novel in there. And from the Lenny Budd books, if you ever read about it. It was from the first novel with the Lenny Budd and Beauty. Beauty, she was a French girl. It was till the last of the books, I think it was about 12, and we have them, all the books. I have a couple of them, my daughter's got the rest of them. And it was a beautiful novel. And I was would come to the shop, and I would tell them about it. Every day, whatever I read, I would tell them. And they got so interested in it. And I went to the library, and I brought them books to read. Everybody, and it didn't take very long that they were all walking with books under their hand, and everybody was reading. And that was my pleasure. That was my pleasure.
I heard somewhere apparently that sometimes the local had trouble getting women to meetings because their husbands didn't care for it and wanted them to stay home rather than...
Well, I don't know about that. We had a lot of women used to come. I'll tell you the truth, that I couldn't wait from one meeting to the other to come to the women's local to a meeting. I was interested very much. I used to come up and talk to her once in a while because I used to read a lot. Current events, what happened about senators, or the this or that, and many times I expressed my opinion rather. Many times, I kind of came out to talk about it too.
What things made it so exciting for you that you kept, you know, that you looked forward to each meeting?
I liked the women. The women were nice, nice women, nice group of women, and what's her name? Clara Leanne was a good friend of mine, and I used to talk an awful lot to her, and she said, come to the meeting, come to the meeting. And I used to come to the meetings, and I had a lot of friends there.
Did you find that you talked about a lot of things that you wouldn't?
They were a nice group of women.
Like with men there, were there certain things?
With men?
Were there certain things that you found that you were talking about in the women's local that you wouldn't in another local because it was, you know, men and women?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't go much to men's meeting because they monopolized the whole evening. And they brought up too many things, a lot of things. To our local, we used to bring up those that worked in hardship and the marks. They used to bring up their problems. And Clara Leon was instrumental involved in it. And C.B. Shane, she was the business agent C.B. Shane. And most of them were C.B. Shane people, girls over there. And I used to like the girls. I used to like the girls a lot.
The men monopolized the meetings and that didn't happen there?
Well, over here too, some of them talked more, some of them less, but somehow we got along very nice. We got along very nice, yeah. It was a nice group of girls. Of course, most of them were Hardship and Max girls. Now, I brought in a lot of girls, C.B. Shane girls, but then the C.B. Shane closed up, they all came back to Hardship and Max. And I brought in a lot of girls, and we used to have parties. We used to have raised money for before a convention to send a couple of delegates to convention. So we used to make a couple of parties a year, about two parties a year. So we used to have a dance. We used to come in. They served coffee and seed rolls. It was nice. My husband never told me not to go or yet to go. I went myself. I went to school myself. My husband, maybe he didn't like it that I went away every night, but I went. But not with Morris, but
yeah,
the first time.
So.
With Morris, I didn't go anyplace. I figured he's not so young, and he had a hard life, and he never had a home, because he always traveled, and I wanted to make him happy to be with him the rest of his life. I did an awful lot. I did an awful lot. No woman would ever do as much as I did.
Do you think that a lot of the conflicts in the center now are because you married Spitzer?
Well, I don't want to say too much about
it. Okay.